Well, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 27, and right at the tail end of this chapter, we're in verse 30. Let's read this together again. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord.
We've already established the fact that tithes, just by definition, is one-tenth. And Heather and I were talking a little while ago. If you think of it this way, a lot of people struggle with giving, okay? What's mine's mine, I'll keep it, right? But where did you get it? What do you have that God didn't give you? And when you look at the Israelites from the very beginning, now this, the things that we're looking at, remember that God gave this to Moses on Mount Sinai right after they come out of Egypt. They haven't even come into the promised land. They're not planting crops and reaping harvests and all that. But he's given them the laws concerning this, okay? And one of the laws that is given is tithe, tenth. And so when you look at this from the perspective of God, and how, and you should look at it from your own perspective, is 10% of what I have doesn't even belong to me. Okay? And so, whether it's my crops, whether it's my animals, that's the tenth of that's the Lord's. The first fruits, the Lord's. The firstling of the flock, that's the Lord's. You don't touch that stuff. It's the Lord. And so when you see it as the Lord's, you don't incorporate that into your budget. As far as something you can spend, it's in your budget to, as an expenditure, okay? You give to God. And then if you look at the third chapter of Malachi, where God is saying, you've robbed me. And the Israelites are saying, well, how did we rob you? God said, in tithe and offering. So not only were they obligated to give a tenth, they were encouraged to bring offerings, free will offerings. What's a free will offering? You do it of your own free will. There's no coercion. It's not a mandatory offering. It's something you do on your own. And so when you look at it from this perspective, then from the very beginning, this is God's. And so you don't even think about using that. That belongs to the Lord. Now, when you get into verse 31, if you want to go ahead and read that before, yes, I jump ahead of it.
And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof.
So he could redeem, like if the tithe is cropped, okay? Tenth is the Lord's. Now, if he wanted that crop, then that crop is valued, but the value's on it, okay? Whatever the tenth of that's worth, then he could pay that full amount, but he also had to add 20% to it. And so if you're going to redeem that from God, it costs you 20% interest. It's an incentive to give God what's God's. Just leave it alone, okay? And the animals that were to be sacrificed couldn't be redeemed. The unclean animals could be redeemed, but a clean animal that was that could be sacrificed were not redeemable, okay? So redeeming the tithe meant buying back from God what was his. You're buying it from God. Does that make sense to you? If you're buying it from God, it wasn't yours. Yeah, but I sowed the seed. Where'd you get the seed? See, everything goes back to God. We are what we are by the grace of God. We have what we have by the grace of God. Now, why is this so important? Because this was the livelihood of the Levites. They didn't have an inheritance. their inheritance was what was offered to God, other than the cities that they lived in. You with me? And so, to give to God, you can't just throw whatever up in heaven and God snatch it, you understand? And so God's method of giving to him was to give to his representatives, which were the Levites and the priest. Okay? And that was a means of honoring God. And so, what does the tithe do? The tithe is a support for them, right? That's why it was so important.
One of the things that you mentioned in the office a little while ago was that there's a misunderstanding that tithing is not for the new covenant.
Well, there's a lot of argument today that people say, well, tithe is New Testament. Old Testament. That we're not told in the New Testament to tithe. But yet the New Testament tells us that things in the Old Testament were written for our admonition, for our learning. And you get principles there. And if you look at Luke 6:38, he says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken down, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall be given to your bosom. But here's the key. For with the same measure that you meet, it's measured back to you. And so if you want to be stingy with God, then you give just a little. That's all you're getting back. When you think about giving, you think about sowing seed. How much harvest do you want? If you don't want much harvest, don't sow much seed. But if you want a big harvest, then you're going to have to sow more seed. You follow me? And I promise you that you will not outgive God. God is good for his word. He watches over his word. And so the old school, you know, the argument, you know, well, I don't pay tithe. Tithe is not New Testament. I believe we have a better covenant established on better promises. And I believe that the Lord deserves as much or more than the priest. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's something to think about. And I know from, this was instilled in me and from my parents. You always give, from the time that I was in elementary school, if someone gave you a dollar or a dime, belonged to God. Of course, back then, someone gave you a dollar, that's a ton of money. A penny on a dime. Dime on a dollar. A dollar on ten. And Mama would always say, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. You give God his. You sow. You sow, you reap. If you don't sow, how can you expect to reap a harvest? You follow me? He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. But you have to sow the seed. You follow me? And so, what's my take on it? I can tell you this, that I personally give more than 10% to God. Because I think God's deserving of it. You follow me? I was telling Heather, I remember long before I went in ministry, this guy came to the church, and he was talking about giving it. This guy, a businessman, and talking about giving to the Lord and how important it was to give to the Lord. And he said, he was an older person, and he said, Mama and I give 90%, we live off of 10%. And somebody said, how in the world do you live off of 10%? I said, Mama and I don't have any problem living off $100,000 a year. Now listen, that was like 50 years ago. You with me? But people get stingy with God. And I just know that tithing works You say it's not a New Testament principle. I'm telling you it's a principle that's always been there.
Amen.
So reap. Mm-hmm. If you're not reaping, check up on your sowing. If you're doing the things God's way. You with me? And so, if you want to be stingy with God, then don't complain if you have lack. It's amazing to me how people make more money and have less because they're so strung out in debt. And many years ago, when I made the least amount of money, the Lord had told me to leave secular work and go into the ministry. I was making less than half of what I made. And the Lord said, get out of debt. Yeah, right. I was sitting behind the desk at the office and I just stood up and I did like Abraham and Sarah. I laughed. I said, that sounds good. How in the world can I get out of debt when I'm making less than I've made in who knows how long? But I said, if you'll show me how, then I'll do it. He wouldn't tell me to do it if I couldn't do it. You follow me? And he gave me a real simple principle. And making the least amount of money, I got out of debt. Now, I can't explain it all to you right now. All I know is we just followed the principles of God. And the result is we got out of debt. We were able to get the church out of a major debt by following God's way. And I believe the church should set the example of giving. This place tithes. This place gives offerings. You with me? On a monthly basis, we're going to give a 10% and then we give far more than that in other ministries. World ministries, home ministries. And I can tell you that God has blessed us immensely. That's why you never see us pass an offering plate, do you? No. The only reason this one's set up here is just if somebody wants to give, they can put it in it. But we don't solicit funds. We don't pass an offering plate. And I can tell you right now, I know God is faithful. We are well blessed. And the place is debt-free. You understand? We don't owe anybody anything. Other than just lights and utilities and all the stuff that goes on a monthly basis. You with me? It comes from following God's principle. Israel was blessed when they followed the principles of God. But when they stopped taking their tithes and offerings into the temple, into the storehouse, as it's called in the King James Version, when they stopped doing that, then is when Israel went on a demise. They stopped obeying God. And so I personally believe that if I'm going to obey God, I'm going to give him more than 10%. If they robbed him in tithe and offering back then, I don't want to be guilty of robbing God. I don't want to be guilty of robbing anybody, but I know I don't want to rob God. And people wouldn't rob a bank, but they'll rob their creator, which is amazing. Is he not worthy to give to? And so we give. And I'm not going to receive an offering, so you don't have to think I have an ulterior motive. I'm telling you this for your benefit. For your benefit. You give to God, you sow. Heather was telling me, you know, when she first got the revelation on tithing, you want to tell it? I mean, They might as well get it straight out of the horse's mouth, right? Not that you're a horse, but...
Thank you. It was during the recession. Will didn't have a job. It was just my teacher job. You talk about some big discussions in the Sykes household. But I'm going to tell you, I experienced the Lord as provider during that time. And He would supernaturally meet our needs. But we were at the point where I didn't know how I was going to, I didn't know how I'd pay buy groceries. I didn't know how I'd be able to pay a certain bill or whatever would come. I'll never forget, Holland was in the fifth grade. I went into a tailspin because for me to buy her supplies that she needed for fifth grade at Hasty, it cost us $105 for fifth grade supplies. I did not know how I was going to get groceries that week after buying her supplies. But the Lord would supernaturally, I'd get an envelope with a card in it, and there'd be money in it. Or I would go to the mailbox, which I did not enjoy going to the mailbox those days. But I would walk to the mailbox, and there'd be an envelope in there with a check. It was miraculous. But here's my take on tithing. Had I not surrendered my heart, because for me that was a surrendering, I would not have experienced the faithfulness of God. I would not have personally experienced God as provider in my life. Because up until that point, we had always tried to provide on our own. Our job, our salary, I need to make this money. I need to get this job. I mean, I worked three jobs. It didn't matter. It wasn't enough. However, if you surrender to the Lord, He will honor that. He is faithful and just. He will honor it. And He honored it. That would be the first check I'd write. As a teacher, you get paid once a month. That would be my first check, was to tithe. And that is a real hard thing for somebody to understand, that whose heart's not submitted to the Lord. But here's what I'm telling you about following Jesus Christ. You have to be willing to lay down everything to follow Him. And I don't believe that Jesus is looking for wishy-washy followers. You have to be strong in your conviction towards Him and your belief in the Word of God. And I thank the Lord all of the lessons that He taught me. And I thank the Lord for all the people that He laid on their hearts to give us money when we desperately needed money. Or to invite us to dinner when we didn't have anything to eat. And I know that sounds crazy. You know, people can look at you and have a preconceived idea about what your life is like or what goes on inside your house. People don't know. You don't know. You know, you don't know what other people are going through. You just don't know. But we serve a God who's faithful. He's trustworthy in all things, and of all things, money. But so many times we want to hang on to things, don't we? And money's a big issue. You know, I was thinking as Pete was talking, I was thinking about Jesus. Remember when He was asked about, do you pay taxes? And He said, well, let me see that coin. You give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and God what belongs to God. Well, when I read that, in my heart, I think, well, yeah, this money, everything I have, it's because God has given it to me. And so I just want to be a good steward of what's been given to me. And part of that means I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give, I'm going to give all that the Lord lays on my heart to give. And I have stopped questioning when He tells me to give. I'll just do it even if it doesn't make a lick of sense to me. You give this certain amount of money, and sometimes your head would go tilt, and you think, how? But you just do it, and He honors you on it. He's faithful.
You know, nature teaches you the principle that if you want to increase, you have to give. Sowing to reap. You want fruit off of a tree? Well, you have to plant the tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want crops? You have to plant the crops. But let me show you something else. Even the sinner believes in this principle. That's why they want to put up money for retirement. What do? You put money into something to get money. You're expecting an increase, right? But in order to get an increase, you have to sow, right? I heard it said a lot of people waiting for the ship to come in, they never send it out.
Yeah.
No, you have to. If you want a return, then you have to put something in as initial investment to get a return. And God set this up with tithe and offering. And I can't tell you the times that God has proved Himself faithful to me. But yet, He's asked me to do things that my flesh tell me, you are crazy. You're crazy. You know, and I'm talking about before I went into ministry. I was asked to speak at a Sunday night service. And that afternoon, I was sitting there and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to teach on giving. And he said, there's a person in there, and he told me who the person was. I didn't know them. I knew them I knew who they were if I saw them. And he said, I want you to teach on giving, and then I want you to receive an offering from the people and give it to this man. And he said, you be the first one to give. I had $100 to my name. I had a light bill of 90-some dollars, electric bill. The Lord said, I want you to give that $100. Ooh. I said, all right, I believe this is you. And so we did what the Lord told us to do. And that offering was 400 and, I don't know, 27, 37, whatever, and some odd cents. That was what that man's fuel bill was. And God wanted to take, he was an elderly man, and God wanted to take care of that man's fuel bill. You follow me? And so, of course, I cleared it all through the pastor to make sure it was all right if I did that. And I didn't know anything about the man's need. But before I left that night, this young guy came up to me and said, can I talk to you privately? And I said, sure. And we stepped over away from anybody. He said, I've never done this in my life, but I feel like I'm supposed to give this to you. And he shook my hand, and he put some money in my hand. Well, I didn't look at it. I just said, thank you, you know. $100 bill. Isn't that amazing? But God required me to act in faith. You with me? And so faith is believing without receiving. Faith believing that you can walk into a nice steak restaurant and have a filet mignon and you can't even pay the tip, because someone has invited you. God's just moved on their heart to take care of you. So it's not what you have in your pocket. God supplies your need according to His riches and glory. When Jesus needed to pay taxes, He sent Peter fishing. And He got a coin out of a fish's mouth. Have you ever done that? No. That was just God's method. Jesus knew His resources. He could feed 5,000 with, you know, just a small amount of food. You know, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Can you do that? He knew His resources. And people don't realize that that God's resources are unlimited. But we don't serve God to get. We serve God to give.
Yeah.
But I know that you're not going to outgive God.
Right.
And you do for God, God does for you. It's it's a reciprocal thing, but you're not giving to get. I don't give to get. I don't give to anybody to get. I give because I want to. And see, that's the way the tithe is supposed to be. You give because you want to. The Lord has this set up as a principle. In other words, He's saying, listen, you always need seed to get a harvest. And so your tithe is going to be your seed. You put the tithe in the storehouse, and you can be assured that the harvest is going to take care of you. But don't eat your seed, or you're not going to have anything to sow to get a harvest. And too many people are eating your seed.
But what we do know about the Word of God, God Himself tells us that He does not change. He's the same yesterday as He is today, as He'll be tomorrow. Forever. And so He set up a system to where His representatives, His chosen representatives, the Levites, the men of God, would be taken care of, because they didn't have an inheritance, right? They didn't have their own land. And so He had this economic system in place for His representatives. Well, I believe that God still wants His representatives taken care of today. And He's dependent on us to be obedient and be sensitive to the Spirit. And I'm going to speak of my own heart here for just a minute. But there are a lot of men of God that have been handpicked by our Creator to represent Him. And they're working multiple jobs and doing their best to still represent the Lord. We have an example with the Levites when people stopped paying their tithes and stopped giving, of what happened to the Levites. When people weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, those priests suffered. You understand? When God lays on our heart to do something, it's mighty important that we do it.
Now, let me just say this, that there's been such a gross violation with the churches and with ministries, that they turned into beggars. And God never meant the church to be a beggar. They always want you to give. I mean, turn the TV on, watch a minister, and see if they not want you to give, or they want to sell you some CD or book or whatever. Well, I know what the Lord told me when we started. He said, freely you receive, freely give. You don't charge for the gospel. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The only fee in this place is if you're pursuing a degree, is to defer the cost of the toner and paper, those type things. And if you look at our fee for a diploma compared to others, it's a joke. We're not trying to make money off of anybody. That's not what we're here for. We're here to put the Word of God in. And I tell people, if you come to this college for a degree, you're at the wrong place. If you come to learn the Word of God, you're at the right place, and if you stay with us long enough, you get a degree. But the emphasis should never be on a paper you hang on the wall.
Right.
You can hang a paper on the wall and be as dumb as a wall that's hanging on. That's not what it's about. It's about getting the Word of God on the inside of you to where it's reproducing. You got to get it in. That seed, that word seed, right? You put the seed of the word in, and you got to harvest of the word out. You with me? Okay. I'm sold on giving.
Yeah.
And let me just say something else. We're in a society that has so much emphasis, especially on the generation. Coming up from high school to college and all that, everything, money, 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 money. Gimme, 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 gimme. How much can I get? How much can I get? And preachers are the same way. What does the church pay? What's this? That stuff turns me off. That's irrelevant. Are you worth God wants you to be? Then God will take care of you. Quit depending on somebody else to take care of you. You follow me? And so what's happened is it's like this. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And enough's never enough. You can't make enough money.
Yeah.
You make a million, you want two. You make two, you want three.
Yeah.
It's never satisfied.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is it doesn't take a whole lot to live. And be happy. You understand? And the more stuff you have, the more upkeep you have. And there's a balance in all this thing. It's not that God is wanting to deprive you of anything. Abraham was a rich man. But God had Abraham's heart. Abraham's heart was not on his wealth. His heart was on God. And when God told him to do something, he would do it. But people that's just wanting to accumulate money, that's their master. And he says you can't serve God in mammon. You know what mammon is? It's money. You can't serve God in money. Which one's mastering you? That's why Jesus said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? The dominion of God. The government of God. A dominion is governing you. How can you be submitted to God as your governor when money is controlling your life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was telling his disciples. When he told the guy, what do I do? Hey, sell all you have. Give to the poor and come follow me. He said he went away sad. Why? Because he was wealthy. God wasn't trying to take his wealth away. You understand? God's not against you having money. He's against money having you. And for the most people, the money controls them. And that's why they work day and night. Accumulate, accumulate, accumulate. Invest here, invest there, but they won't invest in the kingdom of God. And God said, lay your treasures up in heaven where they can't be stolen. You know, when you give unto God, it has nothing to do with Wall Street. It's not what Dow Jones doing. That's irrelevant. NASDAQ. God doesn't look at that stuff. It's not affecting his economy. And so when we follow the principles of God, in the midst of a famine, you can get a hundredfold return.
Yeah.
Ask Isaac. It's right there in your Bible. You understand? And so God's just wanting us to learn this principle. The tithe and the offering was not taking from. It was actually giving you a means to get more. And so all those that want to get tight fist with God, you got a knife to your own throat.
Yeah.
You follow me? All right, out of time. So you want to read these other verses?
Yes, sir.
32 through 33.
And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai.
You give your flock or for you if you heard, it's God's. You can't get it back. You can't redeem it. We're not through, but we're going to stop and take a break.
Okay.
I'm trying to rush it, and I'm going to stop rushing it, okay?
Okay.